This is Audible.
Wolf Song, written by T.J. Klune, narrated by Kurt Graves. Chapter 18, The Beast, Fire and Steel. They took her on the second day, as dusk fell. We were prepared. We were. We were. We were. I've told myself that over and over again every day since. We were. I swear to God, on everything I have, we were. But not enough. It was never enough. It would never be enough. Mom said, I need to go to the house, pick up some clothes, a uniform for work tomorrow. I said, I'll go with you. She said, stay here. It's just down the road. You're busy as it is. And I was. I was training. With Thomas, Joe, the others. Osmond watched me closely. I felt like I had something to prove to him, knowing what I was, my position, within the pack. With Joe. I said, you can't go alone. Osmond said, I'll send two of mine along with her. And I said, okay. Okay. I said, okay. Like it was nothing. Like it was absolutely nothing at all. Elizabeth and Mark were inside. Carter and Kelly were clawing and slicing at each other to my right. Gordo was checking the wards around town. Osmond was watching us move back and forth, but his eyes kept coming to me. I was something he couldn't figure out. He was cautious, curious. Ever since the tone in my voice had caused his betas to tremble. We didn't talk about it. Or at least, I never heard him talk about it. I was distracted. I said, okay. You need anything? She asked me, like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. I shook my head, wiped the sweat from my brow. Fainted left when Joe came at me. Spun once, knocked my fist into the back of his neck, sent him stumbling. I said, nah, I'm good. Because I was. I was fine. I was okay. The unknown was coming toward us, a monster capable of horrendous things. But I was with my family. The sun was shining overhead. There were a few clouds in the sky. I could hear birds, could smell the trees and grass. It was green. It was all so fucking green that even the violet edges of it were distant, because we were pack. We were stronger than anything that could come at us. And if Richard Collins showed his face, it'd be the last thing he ever did. If Robert Livingstone came smelling of ozone and lightning, we would rip the magic from his skin, and he would be nothing more. This was a promise. Because of Joe. Because of what he was. To his pack. To the people like Osmond. To me. I was focused. I didn't ask the questions I should have. Why Gordo's father would be with Richard Collins. What they wanted. What they were after. Who the weakest link was. Who would be the easiest to take out first? Who could be torn away? Who was kind and beautiful and not deserving of such a fucking cowardly act, a monstrous thing that... Mom said, I'll be right back. And Joe came at me again. Thomas watched with careful eyes. Carter and Kelly snarled and snapped. Osmond pointed at two of his betas, and they followed my mother. They were big guys. I thought nothing of it. We were safe here, on Bennett land, in Bennett territory, with a witch's wards and a forest filled with old magic that I would never understand. I didn't need to, though, because my Alpha did, and he would protect us. I knew something was wrong 20 minutes later. Mom was pack. She was. But it wasn't the same as it was with me. I was tied to the Bennetts. The bonds between us were strong. When the moon was full, I could hear them whispering in my head. But that had passed. It was a new moon, and she didn't have the bonds we had. She was tied to them because of me. The wolves were within me. She flitted along the edges, bright little bursts of light. But I knew. It was small at first, just this little pull somewhere in the back of my head. Thomas was watching Carter and Kelly and Joe. I took a drink of water. It was cold and sweet, and that little pull itched. I said, "Hey." I said, "How long?" I said, "How long have they been gone?" Osmond frowned and said, 20 minutes, thereabouts." I pulled out my phone, sent a text, "What's taking so long?" and waited. I started to sweat. And then, a response. "Just finishing up. Can you come help me real quick?" And I said, "Sure." "Be right back," I told Osmond. "She needs some help." He said, "Ox." I looked at him. "Never mind," he said after hesitating. I went through the house. Elizabeth and Mark were in the kitchen. They smiled at me as I passed them. It was pinched on both of them, but they were trying. "Okay, Ox?" she asked. "Yeah, Mom needs some help real quick at the house." Mark said, "Hang on, I'll go with you." I shook my head. "No need. I don't think it'll take long." "Ox," I laughed. "It's okay, I promise. Just be quick, okay?" "Yeah." And I was quick. I moved across the lawn toward my house. I kept my eyes and ears open, because it was what I was taught. The wards were up, sure. I was surrounded by wolves. I was in a pack. I was big and strong. My father had said I was gonna get shit, but he was dead and buried, and I was alive. I was important to someone, to many someones. I had friends. I had a family. Maybe I was gonna get shit, but it'd be met with fang and claw. I moved with purpose. I was aware. Nothing was wrong. Nothing felt off. I was human, but I'd grown into my instincts. It was fine. It was all fine. But I still played it safe. I went through the side door into the kitchen. As soon as I closed the door behind me, it felt like a wet blanket fell over me. Muted. Dark. The air smelled sharp, almost like smoke. The pack bonds were there, but they were grayed and dull, muffled. "Mom?" And a man said, "Hello." He was leaning against the counter near the sink. He was a tall man, a slender man, thinning brown hair, little wrinkles pronounced around his eyes, a sharp, angular nose above even teeth, tan skin without a single mark that I could see. He smiled at me, and it was a kind smile, full of laughter, amusement. He was pleased. He said, "Ox, isn't it?" I took a cautious step because of the wrong, wrong, wrong. "Where's my mom?" He cocked his head, the smile fading slightly. "That was rude," he said. "I asked you a question." I said nothing. He sighed. "Ox." She kept the good silver in a cabinet on the other side of the kitchen. I could. He said, "I've certainly heard stories about you. The human who runs with wolves. The man in a wolf pack. Tell me, Oxnard, do you feel the pull of the wolf within you? Does it claw at the human tissue surrounding your human bones?" "Where is she?" That heavy feeling wouldn't leave. And I wondered if this was what magic felt like when you were engulfed by it, if Gordo felt like this all the time. He frowned. "I asked you a question." "I'm not a wolf." "I know that. I'm aware of that. That's not what I asked." "No, I don't feel it." The man said, "That was a lie. Why would you lie to me, Ox?" "I'm sorry. Please. Where is she?" "They can't hear you, you know." "Who?" "Your pack. They don't know that anything is amiss. It's powerful, the spell." "Tell me, do you know who I am?" he asked. His eyes were bright and green until they were consumed by orange. But it wasn't the Halloween orange I was used to, vibrant and alive. No, this orange was rotting. No, that was another lie. Ox, have they taught you nothing? I said, don't do this. He laughed. Do what? Hurt her. Ah, well, of course. You can stop that, Ox, if you wanted to. How? It's simple, really. Give me Joe and Thomas Bennett, and I will give you your mother. You will call them and ask for them to come over here. I don't care what you have to say to get them here. Just those two, and those two alone. If I even suspect you're trying to tip them off, I will paint the walls with her blood. You can't. He said, that's where you're wrong, because I can do it. And even more, I am doing it. This is happening, Ox, as we speak, as you breathe, standing there with your little rabbit heart. You can't. Ox, Ox, you can't argue with me. Not on this. I am a beast. I was made to be this way by the might and folly of men, and I stopped denying what I am a long time ago. I will take what is rightfully mine, and all will be well. You don't have to do this. And my voice cracked. He said, you have a choice to make, Oxnard. Hurry. You have a minute to decide. I took a step toward him, my hands and fists at my sides. My head hurt, and I could only think Mom, and Joe, and Thomas. And there was so much anger, so much rage that this man, this deceptively simple-looking man, could come into my house and try to take everything from me. Everything I had, everything I'd built. I said, Richard Collins. He grinned, bowed his head, extended his hands in a neat little flourish. At your service. His rotted eyes flashed again. I said, I'll kill you for everything you've done. His smile widened. His teeth were more wolf than man. I can see why Thomas likes you. Human or not, you've got a little something-something, am I right? 45 seconds, Ox. I said, don't do this. Take me. Leave them alone. I'll go with you. His smile faded. So quick to sacrifice yourself. Just take me. Another step forward. I'll go quietly. Wherever you want. You'll kill me. You'll go with me. Which is it? You're confusing the situation, Ox. How fickle the will of men.
I struggled to take a breath.
30 seconds, Oxnard. And I have no use for a human aside from getting me what I want. You just won't do.
And another step, and there she was. I could see her in the living room. There were other men with her, Omegas, all of them. Their eyes were violet bright, and my mother. Oh, God, my mother was on her knees, facing me, gag in her mouth, tears on her cheeks. She saw me, and her eyes widened, and she leaned toward me, and one of the Omegas grabbed her hair, snapping her neck back, and...
Kill you, I said hoarsely. All of you. Every one of you. I swear it. I swear on all I have.
They laughed. Osman's betas were kneeling on either side of her, blood spilling from wounds that hadn't closed, wouldn't close.
15 seconds, Richard said.
I said, I don't have my phone. I don't have it. I don't have it. I swear I don't. And I couldn't breathe, because this was Mom and Joe. And Thomas, and he was making me choose. He was making me decide between them.
He said, kill the betas.
And before I could even take another step, two Omegas stepped forward and grabbed the heads of the kneeling wolves. A quick snap of the wrists, and there was a crack and pop of bone and tissue, and they fell to the floor, legs jerking and hands shifting to claws. Their heads had been twisted so far around that the skin had torn and blood spilled. There would be no coming back from that, no healing. The Omegas stood above them and waited for them to die. It didn't take long.
"I'm serious, Ox," Richard said quietly. "There are things I need, things that must be done before I can leave here. I will do anything to take what's mine, what's owed to me. Can't you see that? Ox, she's scared. This is your mother. You're not mated to Joe. Not yet. You can find another. There will be a nice boy or girl for you down the road. But you can never have another mother, Ox. She's your only one. Please don't make me hurt her. I would feel so bad about that. I would. I really would."
And I knew that. I did. I did. She was my one and only. The only one I'd ever have. "I'll go back and get them," I said. "I promise. I'll get them and bring them back." Richard sighed.
"Ox, ox, ox. That's not how this goes."
He sounded so disappointed. He walked toward my mother. I looked at her, and I was 7 again, or 6, or 5, and I was looking at my mommy, asking her what I should do, begging for her to tell me just what the fuck I should do, because it was all violet and blue, and all I could see was red. And my mother looked back at me, with those dark eyes. She was no longer crying. Her face was wet, as were her eyes, but tears no longer fell. There was fire and steel, buried in a cold resolve, and she just looked at me. And I knew. I knew what she was doing. She was being brave and stupid, and I hated her. I hated her for it, because she was making the choice for me. She was saying goodbye. I said, "No, no, no, no," and I took a step toward her. The Omegas snarled. Richard was a few steps away, and her eyes flickered behind me to the door I'd come in, the door she was telling me to leave through when she moved.
"Mom."
She nodded. Richard said, "This is touching. Last chance, Ox." I croaked, "Mom." She smiled around the gag, a bright and shining smile that was the most awful thing I'd ever seen. And then she moved. It was grace. It was beauty. Fluid, like water and smoke. She coiled down and then rose up quicker than I'd ever seen her move before. Her head snapped back, smashing into the Omega behind her. His nose broke as he cried out, and I took a stumbling step backward, because if I moved quick enough, if I stepped out of the house and out of the magic that choked me, then I could call for my pack, and they would save us, save her, and we would never have to be alone again. Except Richard's hand curved into black claws. He raised his arm in the air. I remembered the night of my 16th birthday, when we danced in the kitchen. The way she had smiled at me, the soap bubble on my ear, how she had laughed. And as I pushed through the door to sing my family home, the hand of the beast came down across her throat. The floor was wet after, around her. The sound she made was wet. Her eyes were wet. Her lips. And her throat. Her throat. Her throat. And she started to fall, and I pushed the door open, and the magic held, and it pulled, and I screamed out my song of loss and horror and pushed through it. When I came out on the other side, there was a hole in my chest where a bond had broken, and I knew. I knew. I knew. I knew. And I sang then. I crawled on my hands and knees and sang. I sang a song for my mother, heart shattered and soul deep. They knew, my pack, as soon as my song hit their ears, they knew. Their answering howls were rage and fury and despair, and I crawled toward them, calling back, begging for them to take away this pain, begging for this to be a dream, a nightmare. But I had read that there was no actual pain in dreams. I remembered that, through the haze of magic and darkness. I remembered that. And this couldn't be a dream then, because all I could feel was pain. It rolled over my whole body until I was gagging with it. Joe reached me first as a wolf, shreds of clothes he hadn't bothered to discard hanging off him. He pressed up against me and shuddered along with me, whining deeply as he rubbed his nose over me. He shifted and growled, "Ox, ox, please, please, just look at me. Please, where is it? Why do you smell like blood? Did he hurt you? Please don't be hurt. Please tell me what's wrong. You can't be hurt. You just can't. You can't ever be hurt." And his hands ran over me, trying to find any injury. Wolves flew by us, toward the house. The sun was setting behind the mountains. Joe took my face in his hands and kissed my forehead, my cheeks, my chin. He said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Like it was his fault. Like he had done this. And for a moment, an awesomely terrible moment, I thought he had. I thought all of them had. The Bennetts. Because if they'd never come back, if I'd never met them, never heard them speak, or seen their secrets unfold before me, my mom would still be with me. We'd be sadder. We'd be quieter. We'd be lonelier. But we would be. And the moment passed. It passed because I had been given a choice between her and them. And I'd chosen. The air was warm, and birds were singing, and Joe's hands were smooth. But I felt none of it. I heard none of it. There were no tears on my face. I didn't cry because my father had told me men didn't cry. I pushed Joe's hands off me and stood. Thomas stepped out of my house. He had shifted from his wolf. He gripped the porch railing and closed his eyes. Osmond came out from behind him. I could hear the others moving inside the house. I said, "Where is he?" And Thomas said, "He's gone into the woods." "Can you track him?" Thomas took a step toward me. "Ox, can you track him?" I repeated. Osmond said, "Yes, but it's what he wants." "How many?" "Five or six," I said. "Omegas, all." Osmond closed his eyes. "They're gathering behind him. He's leading them. There'll be others. He's trying to become the Alpha to the Omegas." Elizabeth came out, her face ashen. She was still clothed, so she must not have shifted. She pushed past Osmond and Thomas and reached for me, even before she'd reached the bottom of the stairs. Her arms came around me and held me close. Mine stayed at my sides. She said, "Ox." I said, "We find him. Tonight." I didn't look away from Thomas. She said, "Oh, Ox." And there was a hitch in her breath. "He won't run," Osmond said. "This was planned." And Thomas said, "Call Gordo. We need to move. Soon." I sat on the porch, my crowbar in hand. The pack curled around me. Joe wouldn't leave my side. I had never felt this cold before. It was full dark when Gordo returned. He got out of the car and said, "Ox." I stood. He said, "I'm sorry." I said, "For what?" "What happened?" "I've made some calls. She'll be taken care of." "What does that mean?" "I won't let anything happen to her." It was too late for that. That's good. He took a step toward me. I can take you away from here, away from all of this. And the wolves growled around me. I ignored them. And go where? I asked. Anywhere you want. We can leave Green Creek and never look back. Joe stood and moved around in front of me. Back off, he snarled, and I knew his eyes were orange.
Joseph, Thomas said, his alpha voice rolling through us. Stand down.
Joe looked like he'd been struck. He said, Ox, you can't. Gordo said, he can. He can do anything he wants.
Can I? I asked.
Yes, Gordo said. Anything. I turned to Thomas. Can I?
Yes, Ox, he said quietly.
Good, I said. I want to hunt down Richard Collins and kill him. No one spoke. Then, Ox, Gordo said, sounding like he was choking. He took another step toward me. My hand tightened on my crowbar. This isn't what she'd want, he said. And I said, don't you tell me what my mother wanted. My voice shook. I didn't know if it was with sadness or rage. Don't you dare. Because she was still lying in our house, in a puddle of her own blood, and he didn't get to say anything about her. Elizabeth had told me she'd covered her with a blanket, and I'd wanted to say thank you, but said nothing instead, because of how inconsequential it was. A fucking blanket. Please, Gordo said, let me take you away from here, away from all of this. I don't run from things, I said as cold as I could. I'm not you. And he took a step back, eyes going wide. A hand on my shoulder. I thought it would be Joe, or Thomas, or Elizabeth, but it wasn't. It tightened with the barest hint of claws as Mark said, Stop, Ox. I know it hurts. I know it burns like nothing you've ever felt before, but stop. This isn't his fault. Don't say something that you won't be able to take back. I ground my teeth as I bit back words I knew would hurt. That was the danger with knowing and loving others. You always knew things about them to throw back in their faces. I was capable of doing that. Most people were. But it came down to a choice. So I swallowed down the hurt. It's his fault. It's your fault. It's all of you because you brought this here. You made this happen. Why couldn't you just leave us alone? Why did Joe have to give me his wolf? I hate you, all of you. And asked, Will you help me? Gordo said, Ox, this isn't the end, okay? I promise, it seems like it is. It feels like it, but it's not the end, I swear to you. And then Osmond said, Gordo, you should know. There was a dampening on the Matheson house, a powerful one. It didn't just mute the bonds. It made it so that no one outside the house could sense any distress in them. Gordo said, My father, the wards to the north, they were modified, and I never felt them change. He's the only one that could have done it. It felt like him, but different.
Could you change them back? Osmond asked.
Gordo nodded. I'm better than I used to be. He doesn't know that. He might have seen how complex they were at first, but he won't know just how deep they go. It was like an infection on the surface. I healed them. Osmond's wolf appeared out of the dark.
North, one said. They went northwest.
How many?
10 or so, maybe more, maybe less.
Osmond looked to Thomas.
What's northwest of here?
A clearing, Thomas said. One we use often. He knows of it. We played there as children. It's a sacred place for my family.
He's spiraling, Osmond said quietly. Coming into your territory, knowing the magic that's here in this forest. It's old, Thomas. And on the far side of a full moon? He can't possibly think he'll win.
He's probably heard the stories of the fallen king, Thomas said.
His voice was bitter and dark. It was the first time I'd ever heard him sound like that.
He no doubt thinks me weak, that all he has to do is divide and conquer. He started with the humans, because all he knows of humans is how easily they can break. He didn't expect to find the strength in them. His words were proud, but I felt nothing from them. I couldn't. He looked at me and said, "If I asked you to trust me and stay here, would you do it?"
"No."
"Ox,"
I said, "that's not fair." Red curled into his eyes. I felt the pull of it, the need to submit blooming deep within me.
"I could make you," he said. "You know I could."
"You wouldn't, though."
"Oh, and why wouldn't I? I am your alpha. You do as I say."
"That's not who you are, and I trust you to remember that. But I'm not staying here. Where you go, I go." He looked sad.
"Sometimes we go places where others cannot follow."
"He took her from me." My voice shook. Thomas said,
"I know."
He stepped forward then, stepped forward until he was standing in front of me. He put his hand on my neck and pulled me to him, my face at his throat. A soothing rumble rose up from his chest, and he whispered,
"I am so sorry this has happened to you. I wish I could take away all of the pain you feel, but I wouldn't, even if I could, because that pain shows you you're alive, that you're breathing, that you can take another step, and where you go, I will go too. We will finish this, and then our pack will help put your mother to rest. You are not alone, Ox, and you never will be."
The crowbar fell to the ground as I gripped him tightly. I still didn't cry. Chapter 19. Alpha. They waited for us in the clearing. The stars were bright overhead, and the violet Omega eyes shone in the dark. I counted 15. All wolves. Omegas weren't supposed to group like this. It was almost like they were a pack. They didn't have an alpha. Not yet. So they couldn't be betas. But they seem united somehow. Richard said,
"Thomas."
And Thomas said,
"You shouldn't have come here."
Richard laughed.
"You knew this would happen one day."
He glanced over at me before looking back at Thomas.
"Humans, Thomas. Really? Still? Have you learned nothing from the past? You should be thanking me for taking care of the problem for you."
I was not an alpha, but layers of red fell over my eyes, and all I could think of was death and murder and blood. Thomas said,
"That's always been your problem, Richard. You underestimate the value of those you deem beneath you. Just because you can't appreciate their value doesn't mean it isn't there."
Richard's eyes flashed.
"Your idolatry was amusing 30 years ago. It's since lost its meaning."
Gordo's voice was low when he asked,
"Where is he?"
Richard smiled.
"Who?"
"You know who."
"Ah, but I just want to hear you say it."
It was a game to him. All of this was. "My father." Richard said,
"Yes, him. He had other matters to attend to. He sends his regards. I'm sure you'll see him soon."
He scanned over the rest of us until he stopped on Joe.
"Well, you've certainly grown up. Hello, Joseph. It's lovely to see you again."
And that was enough. That was it. No more. He could speak to me as he wanted. He could say shit to Thomas and Gordo. They could take it. They could. But this man had killed my mother, and now he was talking to Joe, and I was done. But apparently, so were Carter and Kelly, because they flew forward as I snarled, their claws extended, their teeth bared. I followed because they were my brothers. I followed because of my mother. I followed, because of Joe. The bonds were there, between us all. We were pack. We were outnumbered, but we were still pack. I raised my crowbar and smashed it down on a clawed arm that swiped at me. Bone cracked before the claws tore at my stomach. The Omega screamed as his skin burned away at the touch of silver. He started to shift to his wolf, but I spun low on my heels, launching myself up halfway through, arcing the crowbar up in a golf swing. The shock of the impact shook through my hands as the Omega's jaw broke. Shards of teeth and blood sprayed from his mouth and splattered over his face as he rocked back. The curve of the crowbar slid through the skin on the underside of his jaw and hooked behind the ridge of his teeth. I jerked my arms as hard as I could and tore his lower jawbone from his skull. A line of fire etched down my back. I grunted and stumbled away. Somewhere off to my right, Joe roared in anger, either at the Omega that had come up from behind me or at something else. I didn't know. I turned on the Omega behind me. She had blood on her face. She sneered at me and reminded me of Marie. She said, "Your mother will start to rot soon, decompose and fill with gas. How she'll bloat." And I knew what she was doing. Thomas had taught me that. Rage and anger caused surges in power and strength at the cost of precision. It was easy to sink into the red sheen because it was all-encompassing, but it made you sloppy. She was baiting me. And it was close, because she was talking about my mother. Maggie Calloway had never hurt anyone. She'd been given shit all her life, and all she wanted was to be happy. She never asked for much. She didn't need much. She had me. Eventually, she had the pack, too. And she was taken from us. From me. It was close, though, because the Omega was right. I could feel it pulling me under. Blood trickled down my back, and the pain was bright and awesome, and it was so close. But then there was a ping through the bonds of the pack, a pulse. It hit me, and I took it in, and it said, home, and trust, and sorrow, and love. And part of it was missing, because she was gone. It was acid on my skin, ice in my veins. I said, "You shouldn't have come here." And I was clear. I was precise. I took a step forward, and her claws came toward my face, coated with my blood. She was fast. I sidestepped her, feinting left but going right. I brought the crowbar around in a flat arc behind her, the curved point slamming into the back of her head. She grunted, low and guttural, took a breath, let out a choked sound. I crouched and slid my right shoulder under the crowbar. It held tight in her head as I grabbed it with both hands. I gritted my teeth together and pulled myself to my full height. The Omega fell against my back as I jerked the crowbar forward. The momentum caused her to flip up and over my back, feet going skyward, landing flat on her face in front of me. She twitched along the ground as I tore the crowbar loose. I raised it above my head to bring it down, again, and again, and again. I was hit from the right side. The force of it knocked me off my feet and into a tree, shoulder first, my head rapping against wood. There were stars and lights flashing. I fell to the ground and thought, "Get up, get up, get up." But nothing happened. It was easier to stay down. There were snarls and angry roars around me. My vision wouldn't clear. I closed my eyes again. I thought of many things. Like Joe. And my mother. How dark it was. How much my back hurt. How much my head hurt. How much my heart hurt. "Ox!" a voice cried out above me. I meant to tell whoever it was that I was okay. Instead, I said, "Go away." The voice said, "I need you." And it was Joe. It was Joe who knelt beside me. Joe whose claws stretched against my skin. Joe, who said my name again and again, telling me to move, to open my eyes, to be okay, just be okay. Part of me had been taken away, crushed and destroyed when blood hit the floor. Part of me burned up and became nothing but smoke and ash and charred remains. But part of me still held together, the part that belonged to him, to Gordo, to my pack. I opened my eyes, my vision blurred. I blinked once, twice, a third time. He was there above me, with his orange eyes, his sharpened fangs, half shifted and worried. I reached up and touched his face. He closed his eyes and leaned into the touch. I said, "We have to finish this." He opened his eyes and said, "It's almost over." He pulled me up, and it was almost over, but not in the way I'd hoped. We were too spread out. I couldn't see Carter or Kelly, but I could hear them snarling somewhere in the trees, their anger evident. The bond between us was stretched tight and thin, pulsing in dull rage. I thought I saw a flash of Elizabeth, full wolf and graceful, eyes bright and teeth bared, but then she was gone, Omegas crawling after her. Mark was crumpled on the ground, breathing shallowly. Gordo stood in front of him, tattoos glowing, blood dribbling down from a gash on his forehead. A group of Omegas surrounded them. Gordo grinned. His teeth were bloody. He said, "Yeah, come on, come on." And then there was Thomas, the Alpha. I said, "No," because he was bleeding from every inch of exposed skin, half-shifted, eyes red and claws dripping. Dead Omegas were strewn about his feet, gore spilling into the grass of the clearing. He was breathing heavily, chest rising and falling. His right arm hung uselessly at his side, a knob of bone poking through on his forearm, his healing not yet kicked in. His shoulders were hunched and fangs extended, and still more Omegas came. They poured out from the trees, and I didn't know how there could be so many, how so many Omegas could be in Green Creek without us knowing, without Thomas knowing, because this was his land, this was his home. And I didn't understand. They swarmed on him, and he roared. The trees shook in the forest. The stars were bright overhead. And then we were betrayed. Joe growled deep and low in his throat, muscles twitching, ready to launch himself toward his father, to help him, to save him. Osmond said, "Hey!" And as we turned, startled, he backhanded Joe across the face. The force of the hit knocked us both off our feet. Joe flew into a tree, crying out as his back snapped viciously, falling and writhing on the ground. I lay on the ground, stunned, watching the stars in the sky above. I thought of my mother, and for a moment forgot that she lay covered in a blanket in our house, her blood cooling underneath. I said, "My head hurts, Mom." But the stars didn't say anything back. Then the stars were blocked out. Osmond looked down at me, head cocked. I said, "You did this." He said, "There really wasn't any other choice." He raised his foot above my face. I wondered if it hurt to have your skull smashed in. Richard Collins said, "Leave the human alone, Osmond. I'm not finished with him yet." Osmond drew his foot away but didn't move from my side. I turned my head. The grass felt cool on my cheek. Joe was lying feet away on the ground. His skin was sweat slick, face twisted in a grimace of pain. His hands were fisted at his sides. I said, "Joe," or tried to at least. It came out broken and weak. He didn't hear me. Or if he did, he was in too much pain to do anything about it. I couldn't see Gordo anymore, and I wondered if he was alive. I turned my head the other way. It took more effort than I thought it would. The Omegas had overtaken Thomas and had forced him down. He knelt before Richard Collins, and just the sight of it, just the mere thought of Thomas on his knees for anyone, was enough to cause my blood to boil.
"You know," Richard said, "I expected more from the great Thomas Bennett. I'm a little disappointed."
Blood poured from Thomas's mouth as he shrugged.
"Expectations can be a bitch," he croaked. "Trust me when I say that I'm just as disappointed in you."
Richard nodded.
"I'd forgotten what it sounded like when Joe's bones broke. The wet snap of it. His back, I think."
Thomas growled deep in his throat, but even I could see his strength was ebbing. Too many wounds, not enough time to heal. He was an alpha, but he wasn't immortal. He struggled against the Omegas, but they held him tightly. Richard said,
"Before you die, I want you to know. I blame you for everything. My family, my father, all of it. Every last part of it. Your parents, your pack, witches and wolves. I lay all of their deaths at your feet, and I am going to take your life because of it. I will become the Alpha, and I will rape your territory into submission. This old magic will be mine, Thomas, as will your wife and sons. You are a false god, unworthy of what you've been given."
I was not a wolf. I was a human who was part of a wolf pack. I couldn't move like they could. Not really. I couldn't heal like they could. I couldn't fight like they could. I didn't have claws, or fangs, or eyes that glowed. I was ox. That was all. But they were mine. These people had come into my home and had taken from me. They'd given me shit, just like my father had said they would. People were going to give me shit, because I was Oxnard Matheson, because I was a stupid fucker who couldn't even protect his own family. But no more. No more. I pulled on the pack bonds. I pulled on them as hard as I could. Osmond was distracted by Richard's wounds. My fingers found the crowbar in the grass. I remembered what Thomas had taught me. My father had said I was going to get shit all my life, but he wasn't my real father. Not anymore. My father had helped to make me, but it was Thomas who'd shaped me into what I was. I thought we were going to die, all of us, but I was going to take as many of them with us as I could. Osmond wasn't expecting me to rise up. He wasn't expecting me to sweep my leg out into the back of his knees, knocking his feet out from under him. I was moving before he even hit the ground. Somewhere, in the trees, a wolf sang, and I felt the song burn within me. The bonds sang ox, mate, brother, son, friend, and I moved quicker than I ever had in my life. I was not a wolf, but my God, did I give the impression of one. Richard started to turn as I came up behind him. His Omegas barely had a chance to react. The crowbar stabbed through his back much more easily than I thought it would. Flesh parted, and the crowbar scraped against bone. Blood spurted out over my hands and face, and I pushed. Richard screamed as he shifted, claws coming up and over his shoulders, reaching for the crowbar, reaching for me, trying to slice and cut and mark. I pushed the crowbar in farther, hoping I'd manage to skewer the bastard's heart. Hoping that it was enough, because Thomas was gushing blood now, and I didn't know how much longer he'd last, and... Richard's claws fell onto my shoulder and squeezed. They punctured my skin, and he pulled me around, my blood-slick hands slipping from the crowbar. He brought me around in front of him, and even though I must have outweighed him by a good 50 pounds, he grabbed me by the neck and lifted me off my feet. His orange eyes were bright, his breath hot on my face. He said through a mouthful of lengthening teeth,
"Little human, how I admire you."
A pulse off to my right, lighting up the forest around us. It was Gordo, and the ground was shifting underneath us, a dull rumble that turned into something much louder. Green light shot along the ground, the earth groaning as Gordo called its magic to him. I saw symbols flash beneath my feet, arcane lines that formed stars and crescent moons, ravens that flew underneath me, trailing green sparks in their wake. The earth burst apart underneath us, and Richard snarled in my ear, teeth snapping, biting, and he was knocked off his feet as the ground broke beneath him, cracking and rolling. Everything was green, flashes of lights that boiled my blood and sang to something deep within me. Richard grunted as he fell away from me, and in the chaos and confusion, I heard the screams of the wolves. I didn't know if they were mine or the others. I fell to my knees, the pain glassy and bright, stomach twisting in vertigo. A wet hand grabbed my arm and pulled. I followed blindly. We were deep in the trees before I could focus. Thomas led me away, away, away. "We have to go back," I croaked out, but I didn't try to get away. He said, "Trust me." And how could I not? I ached everywhere. My back was torn to shreds. He said, "You must listen to me." His breath rattled in his chest, a wet sound. The stars were bright above. The trees swayed. He said, "You will be needed now, more than ever. The weight of the Alpha can be a dreadful burden, and whoever carries the weight of it on their shoulders must be able to stand strong and true." "No," I said. "No, no, you..." "Ox." The wind rippled through the leaves. There was an ache in my head and heart. "They will need you," Thomas said. And then he stumbled, going down to one knee, grip tightening on my arm. He groaned quietly, head hanging down as blood dripped from his mouth. I pulled my arm from his grasp. I reached down under his arms, latching my hands in front of his chest. He was substantial and coughed harshly as I lifted him up, my back screaming with the strain. The sounds of the earth splitting apart continued from behind us, but they were distant. We continued on. He said, "All of them." "What?" "The pack. They will need..." "Why?" I asked. Thomas took a deep breath and turned his face toward the sky. I wondered if he could feel the moon, even though it was hidden.
"I knew you were different," he said. "When I first saw you, even if it hadn't been for Joe, I would have known."
His eyes flashed red again and again. It called to something in me, and I thought my blood was boiling underneath my skin.
"If I'm anything," I said, "it's because of you."
He said,
"Oh, Ox, I only showed you what you already had inside."
I pushed on the pack bonds, but they were lost in a haze of pain and Gordo's magic. He said,
"You must listen to me."
I grunted as he stumbled again. Somehow I was able to hold him upright.
"You will..."
He coughed, body shaking. Then,
"The tether will be the most important thing. Those ties that bind you to each other. It'll have to be you. For all of them. It's a terrible thing I must ask of you, especially in light of all you've lost. But it can only be you."
"I'm not..."
"You are," he said fiercely. "You are more than you think, Ox. The power of the Alpha passes to the one who takes it. If it can't be me, and it can't be Joe, then it needs to be you. He's not here, and I'm asking this of you."
"What?"
"Richard can't have this," Thomas said, lips shiny with blood. "He can't. The things he would do with it. No. And I can't hold on. Not like this. Not for very much longer. I can't heal. Not from this. I'm slipping."
"No," I said. "No, you can't."
"I need you to become a wolf," Thomas said. "I need you to do this for me."
It was too much. This, everything he was asking of me. I still hadn't yet made a decision if I was going to take the bite before all this happened. And now, Now he was saying, "You want me to be the Alpha?" My voice sounded small.
"Yes."
I couldn't find the words.
Thomas said,
"I believe in you, Ox. I always have. You are my son, just as much as the others are. I will always be..."
"There you are,"
Richard Collins said from behind us. Thomas snarled, forcing me behind him with strength I didn't think he'd be capable of. I tripped over my own feet, falling to my knees. Thomas towered over me, but he only had eyes for the other wolf. Richard didn't look much better. Someone had removed my crowbar from his back. His skin was soaked with blood. His rotting eyes shone darkly, claws extended, teeth sharp and flashing in the starlight. He said,
"You had to know it would always come to this, Thomas. There was no other way that this could end."
"Only because this is what you chose," Thomas said quietly. "We were friends once. Brothers."
"If you were my brother,"
Richard snapped,
"you wouldn't have let them die. And even if they still had, you would have done everything you could have to make sure the ones responsible suffered. The humans should have suffered for what they brought upon our pack. And instead, you embraced them."
"They were a few," Thomas said. "A select few. What possible outcome do you think this will have?"
Richard's claws extended farther.
"I will become the Alpha,"
he said,
"and then I will make them pay for everything. The humans will bow to me, and I will end them."
He launched himself at Thomas, shifting in mid-air, clothes shredding into tatters, hair sprouting. Before I could even shout a warning, there was a snap of bone and muscle, and wolf met wolf amongst the trees, fangs snapping, paws scrabbling for purchase. Thomas was the bigger of the two, but even shifted, the blood still flowed, matting his fur. Richard was vicious in his assault, and I was knocked back as they rolled toward me, teeth buried in each other, broken growls falling from their mouths. I looked around for something, anything, any kind of weapon I could use to stop this, to stop Richard before he could make things worse. I came upon a rock, just smaller than my hand. I grabbed it without a second thought, because this was my Alpha. This was Thomas, and I couldn't let him go. He'd taught me about myself, who I could be. Alpha meant father.
"You are my son."
It meant safety. It meant home. I didn't hesitate as I moved toward the white wolf fighting against the brown one. I didn't think twice as I tracked their movements, waiting, waiting for that right moment. It came quicker than I would have hoped. Richard knocked Thomas back. Thomas crashed into a tree with a deep whine. He slid to the ground, eyes unfocused. Richard stood above him, his lips pulled back over his teeth. A low rumble started in his throat, and I saw his muscles coiling as he prepared to attack. It took only seconds, really. One moment, he was standing above Thomas, and the next I was bringing the rock down on the back of his head. There was a sharp crack that I hoped at the very least meant a split skull. The wolf yelped, and for a moment I felt a sick thrill that we'd won, that I'd taken him down, that he would fall to the ground and would never rise again. I saw the swell of blood on the top of his head. It spilled down between his eyes and onto his snout, dripping to where his lips curled. But he did not fall. He turned to me. Thomas tried to push himself up, but collapsed back on his paws. I took a step back. The great and terrible beast took an answering step forward.
"Come on, you fucker," I said hoarsely.
I tightened my grip on the rock because it was all I had. I thought of Joe and my mother. I felt bad. I'd left one behind for the other. And now I was doing it again. But at least he'd be safe if I could take Richard down with me. And that was the only thing that mattered. I wouldn't let him take Joe.
Not again. Richard's ears flattened to the back of his head, and even though it seemed impossible, I could have sworn the wolf was smiling, like he knew he'd won. I remembered what I'd been taught. It was all I could do, and as long as I remembered, maybe Joe would be okay, and Thomas, the others. And one day, they could look back and remember me for the things I'd done since the day we'd met, rather than the last thing I did. There was a day Thomas and I had been walking through the woods. He'd made Joe stay behind. Joe wasn't too happy about that, but Thomas had just flashed his eyes in that way he did, and Joe had stopped complaining. Mostly. We didn't talk for the longest time. It felt good to be silent with someone, not needing the weight of conversation. Thomas knew that about me. He knew that sometimes I couldn't find the words to say what I wanted, so I just said nothing at all. He didn't think I was stupid. Not like others had before him. There was a moment, brief and bright, where I thought of my father. I still wasn't quite sure what wolves could pick up by heartbeat and scent, if sadness had a taste to it, or if anxiousness felt heavy. My father wouldn't have understood this. The wolves, the pack, my place with them. He wouldn't have understood any of it. Not really. He would have given me shit for it, tried to take it away. My father hadn't been a good man. I knew that now. He'd spoken in indifference and callousness, in rage and violence. But I'd loved him anyway, because I was his son, and he was my father. I wondered what that said about me, that I could love someone like him, despite his everything. It wasn't the first time I'd told myself it was better that he was gone. Maybe it was the first time that I believed it completely. That hit me hard. That I'd ever thought it was good someone was dead was beyond me, because I wasn't that person. I didn't speak in indifference, in callousness, in rage and violence. My heart stuttered in my chest. I took a breath, sharp, like a soundless gasp. Thomas wrapped his big hand around the back of my neck and squeezed, leaving it there as we walked. He didn't speak. He was just there. My heartbeat slowed. My breaths returned to normal. My feet didn't drag. We walked on. Strangely enough, I spoke first. Later, of course. Much later. I thought maybe he was waiting for me. I said, "How do you always know?" Thomas didn't even act surprised at the question.
"You're mine," he said simply. "I'll always know."
"Because you're the Alpha?"
"That too," he said, eyes never leaving mine.
And I heard all the things he'd left unsaid. The beast came for me, there in the darkened woods. My alpha lay quietly underneath an old oak tree whose branches rattled in the wind. His chest rose shallowly and held. It fell and took forever to rise again. Richard crouched. I narrowed my eyes. I said, "You should have stayed out of my territory." Richard leapt. His claws reached for me. His jaw opened wide. I brought the rock up and, a flash of white, crossing in front of me. Richard yowled as he was thrown to the side. A wolf stood in front of me, hackles raised, head crouched low to the ground, teeth bared in a furious snarl at Richard, who was pulling himself back to his feet. Joe. Joe was here. Joe was all right. This wasn't a dream, because my back ached something fierce. I reached out and curled my fingers in the fur on his neck. I felt the rumble deep within him. It sang to me. Richard flashed rotted eyes as he glared at Joe, moving slowly around us. Joe moved with him, always staying between us. I could feel the anger in him, the rage and the anguish. I tried to reach for the others, the strings that connected us all, to make sure none of our pack had been lost, but everything was jumbled. My head hurt, and I couldn't focus on anything but the green relief of having Joe here, of knowing that he was okay, that he wasn't still lying beneath a tree, back snapped and writhing. We could do this. We could. Richard ran at us without making a sound. Joe tensed beneath my hand, readying himself for the impact. I dug my heels into the earth and fought every instinct that told me to run, because I was not a coward, and I was going to fucking stand with my mate. Lights shot up around us, rising from the earth, the ground beneath our feet groaning as it shifted. Richard collided with the light and was thrown back as if electrified, eyes rolling up into the back of his head as he landed at the base of an old oak. He twitched, legs skittering on the ground, digging through the dirt. "Ox," a voice said from behind me. I turned. Gordo stood, leaning against a tree, panting. His face was sweat-slick and pale. He cradled his left arm against his chest. His clothes were torn. He was bleeding in more places than he wasn't. And the tattoos on his arms were the brightest I'd ever seen. "How did you?" "It's the territory," he said, voice thin and weak. "It belongs to the Bennetts. It always has. It doesn't like intruders. The earth, it... I can hear it. It talks to me. I can keep him out, for now. But I can't hold it, Ox. Not forever. Whatever has to happen needs to happen now." I reached out and touched the light. Barrier? That surrounded us, separating us from Richard. It felt solid under my fingers, and warm. And there was that thread that connected me to Gordo, one that I'd always felt faintly before. It was never as solid as the others, because even though we were tethered together, he wasn't Pack. But now it was bright and strong. "What has to happen?" I asked, not sure if I wanted the answer. Gordo said, "Ox," and I knew. Then a voice spoke softly. It said, "Dad?" I looked over. Joe had shifted to human again and was kneeling next to his father. There was a deep, dark bruise stretching the length of his back where he'd struck the tree. Even as I watched, the edges were fading as it healed. I didn't know if it was because he was who he was that he'd survived that impact, if Carter or Kelly could have done the same. His father was stretched out before him, still a wolf. His eyes were open and watching his son. He whined quietly in the back of his throat. His tail thumped once, twice. Joe said, "You gotta get up." Thomas stretched his neck until his nose touched Joe's hand. "They're okay," he said, like he could hear his father's question. And for all I knew, he could. "They're taking care of the rest. But they need you, okay? You gotta get up." His voice broke at the end. Thomas sighed, a great and heaving thing, like his fears were slipping away. From behind us, a wolf howled, a song of fury. I whirled around. Richard Collins stood, and he was angry. He was snapping his jaw and started hurling himself at the barrier. His eyes were darker than they'd been before, like he was lost to the wolf, all feral and rage. Every time he slammed into the green, the light pulsed outward, like a ripple in the water, and it only made him angrier. "Thomas," Gordo choked out, "you have to do this. Now. I can't." Thomas began to shift, slower than I'd ever seen it. By the grimace on his wolfish face and the way his body tensed, it was a painful shift. Bones that were broken before were still broken. Cuts were wide and bled freely without any sign of stopping. Joe moaned above his father, hands shaking as he reached out. He hesitated, as if unsure where to touch. Richard screamed and continued his assault. Joe said, "Dad." Thomas Bennett smiled up at him. His mouth was red, and blood dribbled down his cheek. His eyes were clear. He said, "I'm glad you're okay." "We have to get up," Joe begged.
We have to get up and go. Mom's waiting for you.
You're going to be fine, Thomas said. It'll hurt. For a while. But you'll be fine.
Joe shook his head. He grabbed his father's hand and held it in his own. I can't do this, he said. I'm not ready.
He sounded so impossibly young. You are, Thomas said. You have been. It's what we've been working toward. You've...
There was a loud groan of bone and muscle. Then, Richard said,
I can save him, Joe. I can save him. You just need to give me what I want. I can help you. And him.
Richard stood, nude and bloodied, eyes on Joe but unable to take a step forward because of Gordo's magic.
Don't, Thomas said, eyes never leaving his son. Don't listen. It's not...
You don't need it, Richard said. I can take this all away. Your father will be fine. I will be the Alpha. And I promise you that all of this will seem like a dream. You can go home, and you'll never see me again.
I didn't need to be a wolf to know he was lying. And for all he was worth, for all that he'd been through, for all the horror that he'd seen, Joe hesitated. I saw it. It was small, but it was there. Thomas saw it too, but so did Richard. And he smiled. So I took a step forward and said, Joe? Joe looked up at me, Halloween eyes bright and wet.
He makes promises, I said, that he won't be able to keep.
Joe bit his lip. But...
He's human,
Richard said, voice dripping with disdain.
Even if he is pack, he doesn't understand. He'll never understand what you are. What you're supposed to become. His kind are the reason any of this is happening at all. They betray you, Joe. They will always betray you.
I promised you, I said, taking another step, that it would always be you and me, that I would take care of you, that I would never lie to you. Tears tracked down his face.
They can only lie,
Richard roared, smashing his fists against the barrier.
It's all they are capable of.
Hurry up, Ox, Gordo bit out through gritted teeth. You trusted me with your wolf before you even knew me, I said, back when I thought I was nothing. But you showed me. You trusted me. And I'm asking you to do it again. His eyes were wide. His breath hitched in his chest. He tore his gaze away from me and looked back down at his father.
This isn't the end, Thomas whispered to him, voice barely able to be heard above Richard's shouts. You'll see. I am so proud of you and what you have become, what you will become.
I can't do this alone, Joe wept. I can't.
And you won't have to, Thomas said. Because an Alpha is nothing without his pack, and your pack will always be with you.
Ox! Gordo cried in warning, and I looked over. He'd fallen to his knees, sweating heavily, chest rising and falling rapidly. Richard howled in triumph. Joe, I said, you have to. Joe's claws were out before I could.